Back here on the morning shift, this hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. All right, we got the Atlanta Falcons doing some Sunday night football this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. So a lot of folks going to be out and excited about that one. And a lot to look forward to in this because the Atlanta Falcons are recognizing owner Arthur Blank. He will be inducted into the Falcons Ring of Honor during this football game. And so to celebrate that, the Falcons are offering free hot dogs, chips, refillable soda to all fans in attendance for Sunday night's game. And so there's a memorable cup or memorabilia. There's a cup that you'll get, and it does have owner Arthur Blank on this cup with the Ring of Honor title on it. I know a lot of people like free food. I know a lot of people like free hot dogs.
Yeah.
Shout out to Denzel, friend of the show.
Yeah, Denzel can he'll have to pay for his wine.
He was hoping, he was asking about if there was wine.
Yeah.
Well, and I told him, it's just sodas, my guy.
Strange cat. Strange cat.
There is wine. What he can do is he can stand in line for his free hot dogs and he can send his date to the bar with his card and she can buy the wine.
Moscato and hot dogs.
And then they can meet in the middle, maybe somewhere near the AT&T perch and hang out and watch the game. Denzel, there's your game plan, my friend.
Yeah.
So you see, I'm here to help you. Apparently, it's
Have y'all ever seen the viral video where the guy makes his hot dog into a straw? And like
that sounds
Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah, that might
I think
be
it was
one
at Dodger Stadium.
And he drinks a beer with it.
There's a lady that did the same thing
too.
Sounds
disgusting. But I was going to ask, what were they drinking? Because
it was definitely Mountain Dew.
Okay. 100%.
The lady in the video that I saw, she was drinking beer. It was disgusting.
I don't drink soda anymore. Like I haven't had it in a long time, but I would consider sipping a Coca-Cola through a hot dog straw.
Did you ever used to do the peanuts in the Coca-Cola?
Just looked at me. The two of them back there, day-day.
Their heads whipped around.
Yeah, I would consider it.
That's disgusting.
It sounds
odd. Have you ever done the peanuts in the Coca-Cola? That's a thing that a lot of people do.
No.
Peanuts and Coca-Cola, yeah.
You like boiled peanuts?
No, just straight up like roasted out of the planter's pack and put them in. Yeah, I know. It's
salted
crazy, but it's a lot of people do that. Salted, I think.
Put no salt
I would think
nuts
salt
in
and sweet, but no.
I mean, I agree with you. I don't do it, but there are a lot of people out there that do that. I'm telling you, because I've seen a couple people do it, and every time I talk to them, they're like, my whole family does it.
Tiffany, I can't hit on you too much, though, because when I was a kid. I was in elementary school, but I did used to take, like, the sour straws.
Yeah.
And I used to sip my milk through them.
Oh my god!
Yeah, my chocolate milk.
What is wrong with you?
That's disgusting. Actually, that's like a stunning.
Can we talk about football? Oh my god! I'm about to vomit.
As someone that likes sugar, like that is an overload. That is,
bro. That is the worst. That's the worst combination I've ever heard of.
Something wrong with you. Hey, you know what hasn't been a good combination this season? That connection between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but. Don't be fooled because defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake for the Falcons still thinks these two can get it together.
Yeah, another just a really heady football player. He has these instincts that you can't teach. He has a knack for getting open. I know just as a fan just watching, in years past, I'm watching. I'm like, why is this guy always open? If you're just watching the TV, it's like 87's open again. He's open. He's open. And you see it when we're going against him and you can see why he has a knack for finding open grass and he has an elite connection with his quarterback. Cause you can't just do that with any quarterback. Where you're cutting your route off and going somewhere else, and he's expecting you to be somewhere. But he has an elite connection with Mahomes where they know where he's going to be. And, of course, he finds him a lot of the time. And so another player that I believe is going to end up being a first-ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best tight ends in the world.
Okay. I haven't seen that yet this year. I think Jimmy Lake's absolutely right. If you watch the last, 7, 8 years, I don't know how long they've played together. This is year 8 for Mahomes. So the last 7 years, it's been spot on everything he just said. We watched that film this morning, Tiff. I didn't see that. I saw a guy who, to me, looked like he was running uninspired routes, and they didn't really. Mike, tell me if I'm wrong, but they didn't. They look like they couldn't be further from the same page.
I don't know that. I don't know. I saw what you saw. I don't know if uninspired. It looks hesitant because it seems like there's a lack of understanding in what each one of them is doing. There are multiple times watching that game film from last week where the ball hits the ground or, you know, the ball is thrown at Travis Kelce. The first one is like a throwaway, and the second one's an interception. Like, and they're both looking at each other afterwards like, what are you doing? Like, that was not what we had in mind, or that's not what we talked about. And I don't know, and hopefully that continues into Sunday night, because I don't want to see them get off the mat and be able to do those things against the Falcons. But it just seemed like, obviously, Cincinnati had their eyes on Travis Kelce and the things that he was expecting to happen out of Patrick Mahomes. Not uninspired, I think there were just times, Bo, where Travis Kelce was running a route and he's looking at the coverage going, okay, this ball should go to X. This ball should go to this wide receiver. This should happen. So he kind of just tries to pull the coverage away from whoever that is, and Mahomes kind of just tries to force the ball to him. And it just seems like there is right now a lack of connection that you have not seen from them in their career.
Yeah, and it seemed like he was zigging when he thought he was going to zag, and he zagged when Mahomes thought he was going to zig. You know, like it just didn't. And, you know, uninspired could be the wrong terminology. That's just, you know, me saying that. I mean, I'm not saying Travis Kelce's not going out there and giving everything he's got. That's not what I'm saying. It just doesn't look like anything is meshing, anything is clicking. And I hope, to what you said, that happens this week, because that means Justin Simmons might get his sixth career interception against Patrick Mahomes and extend his lead on the guy that's intercepted Mahomes the most. Maybe Jesse Bates gets his eighth as a Falcon and has a chance to get his fourth NFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
Tell me again how many times that they've played each other, because you brought the number up yesterday, Justin Simmons against Patrick Mahomes. How many times?
They have played 15 times against each other. Do you know what Justin Simmons or Patrick Mahomes' record against Justin Simmons' teams?
I don't know. Maybe one, five times.
Patrick Mahomes has beat a Justin Simmons team 14 out of 15 times.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder why he knows him so well. Here's Justin Simmons on what makes Mahomes so good.
I would say it's the off-schedule plays, right? I think everyone knows when you have a chance to go up against the Chiefs that it's not those first 3 seconds of the play. It's the next, like, 4 to 5 seconds that really matter, right? When the play breaks down, he's able to extend the plays, and you can't get frustrated when, when they make a big play or he scrambles and he's running around. It's next play mentality, right? And, good thing is when you play in a team like this that they take a lot of shots and they have a lot of chances to go play the ball. We'll have the same chance to go play the football, right? So we've got to be able to make plays on the football. Stop the runs can be important, but yeah, they're a good team.
Mike, is it safe to say when Andy Reid was scouting Patrick Mahomes and he's coming watching film with him come out of college, you know, Andy Reid has talked about one of his favorite meals is a big old juicy cheeseburger, and that was he watched Patrick Mahomes play and thought the same thing, because some of the concepts they use him in the pocket and the way they slide protection and stuff, just. He's so good at what they're doing.
Well, and honestly, I don't know if that's as much a Patrick Mahomes thing. Is that just an understanding of what your strengths are? I mean, we saw like a little half boot off of Isaac Pacheco with Travis Kelce and Isaac Pacheco going left, and then you're able to kind of boot off that or a half boot at a shotgun, whatever you want to call that, and you get the ball to Xavier Worthy and you allow him to use his speed. So I think Patrick Mahomes does have some things to do with that, but I don't think that is something that Kirk Cousins couldn't do right now. It wouldn't be fluid, but I love the advantage you give the guys up front in asking a guy like Chris Jones to go side to side. So, and let me be clear in this too. Zach Robinson did a nice job of play action last week, and I've got the numbers broken down, but they were under way more than they were in shotgun or pistol. And they used play action, I want to say, six times, and they scored off of one of them. And I think they also converted the fourth down off of play action. So completely different game plan last week. But, yes, going back to your original point, Andy Reid does such a nice job of utilizing every weapon at his fingertips and allowing them to kind of do the things they do well. I think that's one of the things that makes him one of the greatest of all time.
Falcons have a lot of weapons on their side of the ball, right? And so Zach Robinson finding the best ways to utilize his guys. What was so good about the Drake London and Kirk Cousins connection for you guys on Monday?
Well, for me, it was Drake London's blocking. No, I'm just kidding. it's nice. And I still do want to see it develop. But when you have Drake, I can't even honestly give Kirk Cousins that much credit for the game-winning throw, because the route was so nasty that Drake London ran that it's like, yeah, it's a good connection, but I would say 20 out of the 32 NFL quarterbacks need to make that throw. I mean, it's just not even in doubt. So
I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said.
But
however, there was a moment before the final before that final drive on the sideline that Kirk and Drake are on the sideline and they're talking about some stuff. Yeah. And it's an advantage that I have being there and also talking to people that are down there and being around other people. But they had a conversation, right? And then he hits Drake inside the red zone on the first his first catch of the drive.
Yeah.
And then he comes back to him two plays later, essentially. And I don't know if they talked about if we get in this situation, if you fake the post and then go back on the bench route or whatever. I don't know if they talked.
And I think it's probably a personnel thing as far as who's covering him jumping those routes, to your point. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, and so that to me, Tiff, to your question about the connection, is Mike's right. That's the best route I've ever seen Drake London run, ever. And I think there's a lot more of that to come with a quarterback like Kirk Cousins. But I also think that's where a veteran quarterback can be like, hey, man, you see this? Like Mike just said, you do that. I don't know if that happened, but in my head, I like to think that happened, and I like to think that's because those two are on the same page. That is their connection, that they're working together. They're talking in between drives. They have an understanding of what they both want, and they're being on the same page. Like we talked about, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce have been
for sure.
So many years.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like you just said, the best is hopefully yet to come, and hopefully we see that from those two and from the entire team on Sunday Night Football. Let's stick with the NFL. We're going in the huddle when we come back to get you caught up on what's going on around the league, including an injury pileup and one matchup this weekend. We'll be back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rodgers under center, Hall in the backfield. Rodgers, quick toss to the left side. It's caught by Lazard. Makes a man miss. Lazard still going. He's in. Touchdown. The Jets strike first. Lazard breaks away. Alex Austin couldn't bring him down. It's a 10-yard touchdown. Rodgers to Lazard.
That courtesy Westwood one. Ian Eagle on the call of the Jets. Steamrolling over the Patriots. 24-3 on Thursday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers throwing two touchdown passes in that victory.
Since I said yesterday on the show, give me the Jets and the points, can that be my lock of the week?
No.
Because I called it and you went against me and you're like, oh, I'll take the Patriots then.
No.
How about Jacoby Brissett's comments after the game where he was like, he goes, look, it really didn't come down to the plays. They just beat our ass, to be honest with you. And
just keep it straight.
I mean, okay.
I disagree with him.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, he was sacked five times, which I don't love. I've always been a big fan of Jacoby Brissett. He played at Florida, and then he transferred to NC State. And I've heard some of the things he was as a teammate, which you just can't find a better locker room dude. But it was a rough night for the Patriots.
Yeah, they didn't block well up front. They really didn't do anything well, to be honest with you. And there was blood in the water for the Jets, and they knew it. And they absolutely came after that offensive line from New England and ran twist stunts, blitz from the safety position, blitz from linebacker, did everything under the sun to get there. And there was just no time. I mean, there was absolutely no time. And I also have to make this comment. Aaron Rodgers, his cadences, it's a thing of beauty for offensive linemen. I think Jacoby Brissett, while he has played the quarterback position for a long time, the inflection used in his voice, it looked like they were jumping his cadence all night.
Can I ask you a question as an offensive lineman? I talked to Arch about this Sunday night. We were sitting around after dinner talking, and you just talked about his cadence. And I completely know where I wanted to go. This is nowhere. You just said this and threw my mind off. And you talk about how good he is with his cadence. Do you think it's a tip when Dak Prescott comes to the line and he calls out stuff, and then he goes, yeah, here we go. And then he says, hut, hut. Like, do you think that, because like, am I a defensive lineman? I'm thinking, as soon as he says, here we go, it's about to go down.
No, because, look, all it takes is twice a game to say, here we go, hut, and not to snap it. And then every time that happens, it's the same as Aaron Rodgers saying green 19. I mean, it's the same thing. It's a qualifier, yes, but as long as you change it up on the back end of that, it really doesn't matter in the end.
On to the Saints and the Eagles on Sunday. So, obviously, the Eagles coming off that loss on Monday night to the Saints, and the Saints coming off a monster win over the Cowboys last weekend. So all that said, what do you anticipate from this matchup? In which, I mean, the Saints offensively have been rolling, it seems, on all cylinders. Alvin Kamara, a huge factor in that. But, of course, Derek Carr finding ways to get it done.
It almost seems like it's not sustainable. And I think they're a very good team. I don't think it's smoke and mirrors at all. And they play with a physicality up front right now that translates just about anywhere. But I feel like it's been so good that you're like, how can they possibly sustain what they've been doing the first couple of weeks? But it's good. And you got to give them credit where credit's due. I think that when you look at this New Orleans secondary and the ball hawks they do have, I do think that there is going to be some opportunities to take some Jalen Hurts balls the other way. And I think that might be one of the keys to the game.
I just want to point out real quick, they haven't been in the past. Dennis Allen's defense has not fared well against Jalen Hurts. So maybe the tide turns in this matchup.
Yeah, I think not having A.J. Brown, I don't know if they're going to have A.J. Brown back. I think that's a big deal for the Eagles. I think it could be a long day for the Philadelphia defensive line if both teams play like they have the first 2 weeks of the season, where the Eagles' D-line's been pushed around and the Saints have been bullying people.
That's a good point.
It could be a long day. I think, though, that the key for Philadelphia in winning this game and probably the next couple of weeks and kind of getting themselves kind of set is continuing to let Jalen Hurts do what he did to us Monday night, which is move with the ball in his hands as a runner.
I think you have to ask one of those big guys in the middle, and you know, Jalen Carter, a number one. One of those guys has got to get in a headspace where they can take over a game. They were way too passive, inactive in the middle last week against us. And those edge guys for them, Bryce Huff, Nolan Smith, they're not very good right now. All right, so when you add all those two things together, if you allow Derek Carr to sit in the backfield and you get bullied in the run game, it's going to be a long night.
Cardinals and Lions, and my NFL crew over at CBS, we joked that we had, we should have gotten this game like a day later or something like that when we saw the debut of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray connecting, which didn't go anywhere in week one. But in week two, man, this seemed like they have figured a lot of things out. Kyler Murray throwing for 266 yards and three touchdowns, with Marvin Harrison Jr. Catching two of those touchdown passes.
I've been very critical of Kyler Murray during his career because I think he's at times kind of seemed like he was selfish the way he played and or acted outside of the locker room. And, you know, I thought he demanded a contract that he hadn't earned yet. He is looking like he has figured everything out. Like, and I don't know if it's the addition of just Marvin Harrison, but remember, he didn't go in your game, Tiff. I don't feel like he went to him as much as he could have, and I still felt like he played well.
Yeah, they did. They weren't able to really find him or connect with him at all. But I do want to point out, yeah, it is different for Kyler Murray a bit this year. He does not feel like he has changed in any way. I know a lot of people think that he has, you know, outside of there, but he says that's not the case. But one of the things he did point out is he's always played with veteran receivers, right? So now you have a guy in Marvin Harrison Jr. that they can grow together. Looks like they're off to a good start.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that when you face a guy like Kyler Murray and you talk about the stature, you talk about what he wants to do, you say, okay, let's keep him in the pocket. You can't keep him in the pocket. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Like, it seems impossible when you watch him to actually keep him in the pocket. Falcons fans know that from watching him in his first start last year. And now he's hit another gear because he's fully healthy. What he can do with his legs absolutely opens what they can do downfield in the passing game.
I think the way he keeps plays alive, he is top three in the league at quarterback at keeping plays alive and to throw the ball downfield. He just does a phenomenal. He did it in your. I was watching stuff from your game, Tiff, that you did when he was in Buffalo, and just the way he was keeping plays alive. He's so elite at that, and I think that's something that what you hope you see from Caleb Williams in the future is keeping plays alive like he has done in college and then just striking downfield.
It's so hard, and that's the one thing everyone talks about with Kyler Murray, is that ability to extend plays and open things up downfield. Before we go to break, Rams 49ers.
Woof.
And this is, man, the injuries have just piled up on both sides. With the 49ers, no Christian McCaffrey, we know that. Deebo Samuel, tight end George Kittle, the latest added to the list. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. And then on the Rams side, they're without two of their top receivers. Cooper Kupp, just going down last week with an ankle injury. And, of course, Puka Nacua, who's been out dealing with a knee injury.
Javaris Ward for the Niners, their cornerback, which missed practice as well, Tiff, with a hamstring and a knee. And then Kittle, you mentioned his hamstring. I mean, remember, you know, when you have like, you guys played some games like LSU, you call them body bag games because the hitting is so hard. These teams have felt like their first 2 weeks have been just that. I mean, it is just brutal with what they've gone through. And I think this is Sean McVay's first 0-2 start ever.
I was going to say, don't look now, but how about the Seattle Seahawks in that division look like world champs? I mean, you look at what they've been able to do so far, and then we just talked about Kyler Murray and how he looks like a new man. So that division that you once thought was just San Francisco's to have, and I'm not saying they still won't win a ton of games, but the Rams right now, it's not looking good. And when you look at that division as a whole, it seems like it's up for grabs at this point.
It kind of does. I won't count the Rams out of it, though, just based on things didn't start out so hot for them last year. And then they found themselves making a playoff push. Chargers and Steelers, both of these teams 2-0 on the season.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that. Who would have thought? Look at us.
Well,
not me.
This screams like a 2 hour and 3 minute game because both of these what does Jim Harbaugh and Arthur Smith both want to do? They might be polar opposite personalities, but they can both agree on one thing. Run the ball.
I tell you this much, too. A couple of the pieces that they've put in place for the Chargers, and you look at their draft class, not only, you know, what they've been able to do with Ladd McConkey, but Joe Alt is elite right now as a rookie blocker. And so I think there's a lot of things to look at in terms of that. But I really like both these teams. To me, the Chargers, the Chargers actually look between the two like a team that could make a playoff push.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins has been phenomenal out there. Justin Herbert was at practice yesterday, but it looked like his ankle was heavily taped. So I think he might go Sunday. I just think this game is going to be – talk about physicality. Holy smokes, this game is going to be – it's going to be fun to watch if you like that kind of old-school mentality with offense. And, like, Justin Fields, so he's got a chance. If he plays within what he's been the last 2 weeks and continues to protect the football like he has, Russell Wilson won't ever see that job.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. What you got for Mike?
Fair Foul Friday, too. Fair foul, Kyle Pitts will have more catches than Travis Kelce. Don't answer right now. With it on the other side of the break. It's Fair Foul Friday. It's mic'd up. It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's mic'd up. It's the morning shift. It's Fair Foul Friday. It's all the things. It's Falcons Friday. Rise up. I'm already ready to go, man. Second straight primetime game, guys. I was just thinking about that, man, how crazy that is coming off last season where every single game was at 1 o'clock. Other than when they played Arizona, which was 4 o'clock, but it was 1 o'clock in Arizona. So it's a lot of fun talking about the Falcons already throughout this season.
Yeah, normal kicks. 405 and 105 or 102 are pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. quick shout out to my guys at Level Lawns that hooked up the yard this week, man. It's awesome to see it already heading into fall mode, man. My kids love playing back there, so shout out to them. All right, you guys know how to do it. I'm going to read the statement. You tell me if it's fair. You tell me if it's foul. How about this one? We'll start off with what's going on in Carolina. Bryce Young will not start again for Carolina in 2024. Bryce Young will not start again for Carolina in 2024. Is that fair or is that foul? Tiffany, ooh, we'll start with you.
Okay. I want to say that is fair because I believe it is absolutely fair. But I also feel like with the Panthers, you never know.
That's a good point.
What is going to happen?
That's a phenomenal point.
This season with the way things have gone the past couple of years, which is why I'm going to say foul because I believe like anarchy, anything is possible.
I got to give you that one. That is a good point. You never know what's going on over there. What do you think, Bo?
Tiffany's right. It's foul. I'm going to give different reasoning. So step away from your microphone, Tiffany.
Yeah, okay.
Meddling owners always meddle. And that is something that happens. Look, just go to last season where we saw the owner change the play caller and then change it back. And I think the owner will change the quarterback. And then when things don't change or things get bad again, he'll change that back too.
That's a good point. All right, let's pivot to the fact that it is September 20th. Now, this has been going on, a conversation in my neighborhood for 2 weeks, all right? And it has nothing to do with trash cans this time, all right? Fair or foul, putting up Halloween decorations in mid-September. Putting up Halloween decorations in mid-September. Basically giving yourself about a 6 or 7 week run-up to Halloween. And this is a whole other conversation when it comes to putting up Christmas decorations. Halloween decorations going up in mid-September. Is that fair or is that foul, Bo?
It's, I mean, it's fine. I have seen overreaction so much in the neighborhood that I live in, and I love my neighborhood, but overreaction on literal birthday signs. There was a fight over realtors putting out birthday signs.
Yeah, that happens.
And so I think that the pettiness, if somebody wants to put the Halloween, it's within a month and a half or 2 month period. Just let them do it.
See, okay. This is more motivation for me to go build a house in the woods or find someone to build me a house in the woods away from everybody.
Prince countryside.
So,
yeah. So is it fair foul?
Yeah, I'm moving to France next year, guys. So it's been real.
Right.
I will say
we'll get you a Comrex so you can do the show in the afternoon.
People being, all
right.
People being mad about it? Was that the
No, is it fair foul to do it? Is it fair foul to
Yeah,
do it?
It's fair. Do whatever you want. Someone across the way already has their Halloween stuff up. It's been up for weeks. Congratulations. Okay. I don't care.
All right, hit that music for me, Dylon. Hootie and the Blowfish is in town tonight, guys. Hootie and the Blowfish. It's the Crack Review album. Hootie and the Blowfish music, fair or foul? Hootie
fair.
No, right?
All I want to be with you.
Tiffany, while you have that look on your face, I'm just going to quote you from the last one. Do whatever makes you happy. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I got to remind you of that. I don't want any hypocrisy in here because
no,
the look
not.
On your face was
if
like
you
sour
like
grapes.
It, yes, I do not dislike Hootie and the Blowfish in case any of their members are listening to this show.
I don't think we have to worry
about
that.
I have no problem. Probably not. I have no problem with it. It's just I heard this song so much in my youth.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It does something to me that
here
doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
Is this a video with Dan Marino in it?
I think it is.
It's got to be this one, man. Yeah, thanks,
Dylon. But do you, boo.
Let Her Cry is a phenomenal song.
That's a great song, too.
Well, he goes off on that song.
Fairweather Johnson was their next album. Good stuff, man. All right, how about this one? We'll go straight to the Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts will have more catches than Travis Kelce on Sunday night. Kyle Pitts will have more catches than Travis Kelce on Sunday night. Fair or foul? Tiff, we'll start with you.
Okay, and I'm only saying foul for this reason. Because it is the Chiefs, because of history, I feel like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce probably talked a lot this week. Like, we got to get this ish together.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that they're going to win the game or anything like that. I'm just saying I feel like they're not going to let it go 3 weeks in, and they're not going to have this thing figured out.
All right, what do you think?
I think that's a good point. But I want to go foul because what did I say about this? What did I say about what this kind of game this would be for Kyle Pitts?
You said it would be. I'm not saying it out loud. You can go ahead.
You do.
That's right. Kyle Pitts is going to go off.
No,
okay?
That's not what you said.
I wasn't done talking.
You said he's going to.
This is his get off game. All right.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Seven
Family
catches.
Show. Family show.
For 89 yards and not one, but two tutties.
Man, I love both those.
Two.
How about this? This is an interesting question to me. This was posed to me by somebody else. Messi was here on Wednesday night.
I surrender.
There are records that there are rumors that Taylor Swift will be here Sunday night. Is it fair to say that the two biggest stars in the world will have been in Mercedes-Benz Stadium 5 days apart? Is that fair or foul?
Fair, absolutely.
I think they're both two of the biggest
stars in
the world.
I think she's been done with her tour.
Right.
So I envision her walking into Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
If she is here, though, are those the two biggest stars in the world?
Yeah, I guess you. Well, yes.
I would say no, Mike.
But
don't say Drake. If you say Drake, I'm coming to that glass.
No, you can't even put
Drake's
them on the
not going to be here on Sunday night. So,
but Beyonce was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium too. So But if you're saying Messi and the combination of Taylor Swift, then
I would say Drake's probably bigger than Beyonce.
No.
Think so?
I can't even disrespect Queen B like that. Queen B.
Well, then how are you going to say that Drake's one of the biggest stars in the world?
You retracted so quick.
Yeah.
Anyway,
if Beyonce and Drake would have been
there. Beyonce fan.
Why did you guys miss what you said? I always.
Yeah. His nonsense. I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's the greatest soccer player in the world, and it's one of the most popular pop artists in the world currently.
All right. How about this one? Was it fair or foul that the NFL fined Derek Carr $14,000 for doing a Michael Jackson dance? Have you guys seen this news?
Did he grab him?
That kind of,
he
yeah.
did. Yes,
then
he did.
Then it's fair they fined him because
14 grand.
Look, if I got to see Drake London get penalized for what he did, you can't be grabbing your crotch out there, Derek Carr. Plus, That's not even your. That's not even your. That's not even your thing. Like,
did Drake Lennon get fined?
He's in New Orleans now, right? Let him, as Dennis Allen said.
Is that what the Cajun car does? No.
Wait, he called him a Cajun car.
Well, that's what he is, Cajun card.
Oh, my God.
All right. Did you get one into?
No, I didn't. But if it's based on league rule, you know.
Yeah, it's fair, but it's not.
You know.
How about this one? The fan that caught the 50th home run for Shohei Ohtani last night said, no deal, I'm taking it home. I'm going to get it valued. Is that fair or foul? Fair or foul move for the fan that caught number 50 last night to take it home and get it valued?
Look,
Tiff?
I'm all for getting a trade done, like in exchange for, if you're that kind of person. There's a side of me, okay, I'm going to say it's foul that he took it home.
Okay.
And there's a part of me that's like, all right, just give it back. Like, let them put it in Cooperstown, let him have it, great. But then the other side of me is like, this is a multi-billion-dollar probably organization, so you could cough up a little bit and give him something in exchange for it.
What do you think? It supposedly on the market, and especially in over in Japan, it might be worth $500,000.
Shohei Ohtani signed a 10-year, $700 million deal.
Yeah.
If he wants his damn ball, he can pay for it.
I mean.
It's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm sorry. Yeah. You don't like it? Kick rocks.
All right, what do we got left? How about this one? We'll finish on this one. The Falcons will have more interceptions than they will sacks. The Falcons will have more interceptions than they will sacks against Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night. More interceptions than sacks.
I thought you were going to say this season. I was like, wait, what? That's going to be.
No. No, I hope not. God,
against
no.
Patrick Mahomes?
Sunday night, more interceptions than sacks.
I'm going to say that's fair.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's fair. Patrick Mahomes is wildly accurate. You know, it doesn't always look conventional, but somehow he finds a way to get it done. But I also feel like maybe against the secondary, maybe with Jesse Bates in the mix, that could lead to some mistakes by Mahomes. Mm. I don't know what his interceptions are in the season. I need to look that
up.
So, okay, not that, you know, won a game. So, but it could happen.
One and a half a game.
Excuse me.
We've only played two so far. This is three. He's been sacked four times, so twice a game. And he's averaging an interception and a half a game. I'm going to say that it's foul. They'll have more sacks.
They'll have more sacks than interceptions.
Yeah, I'm just playing the numbers.
Yes.
All right, how about a little bonus one just to finish up here? The North Georgia State Fair is this weekend. You guys down to spend a night at the fair? You a big state fair person? Go get a little funnel cake, maybe a little scrambler. What are you doing? You North Georgia State Fair?
You go.
I was when I was younger, but having to work the fair, it's a great event for families.
You were a carny?
No. I worked for Cobb County. Oh, we just showed up and, no, it was not a carny, you clown.
So, funnel cake is my absolute favorite. Someone brought me one during a college football game last season. But I will not attend a county fair. The last time I was at a county fair, I threw up,
and
it was from the top of this giant spinning
thing. Oh, you're one of those people.
And how many people did it hit?
My sister was on the ground, and she told me later on that people were like, ew, some girl is throwing up. And she was like, oh, my gosh, that's my sister.
How embarrassing for that girl.
You're that person. You're that person.
So, no, my carny rides, carnival rides are done for forever. When we come back here on the morning shift, you can weigh in on fair or foul. Maybe you have some thoughts on sacks or interceptions. And if the Falcons will have more in one category than the other against the Chiefs in Sunday Night Football, you can do that. You can call us at 404-726-0929. Or if you think I should move to France, you can weigh in on that, too.
Oh,
we'll be right back here on the morning shift with the wake-up call on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.